Bamitzia Daf Yud. So we are starting about 10 lines down here where it says Rav Nachman for Rav Chista de Amri Travayu. We're in the middle of discussion. Just to remember, recap where we are. We're talking about someone who's making a kinyan not on behalf of himself, but on behalf of his friend. So he's going to pick up the lost item. But the question is, if he's not doing it for himself, he's doing it for his friend, can that work? On the one hand, he could do it for himself, theoretically. And therefore, maybe you could use his powers instead to be Konas for his friend. On the other hand, you know, he's using the power of acting as an automatic agent for his friend, as a Zachan the Adam Shalom Bafanov, but it's hurting other people. So who says he can do such a thing? So this was a dispute here in the Gemara. So let's look here at the opinions of Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. Rav Nachman and Rav Chista, Amir Travayu. They both say, Makbim Atzil Chaver, with someone who goes, he picks up a mitzia on behalf of his friend. Lo kana chaver, his friend does not automatically acquire it. My time. And what is the reason? It's just like someone who is going and seizing debt from the love on behalf of the creditor, and this can hurt other people. So in other words, it's a scenario where let's say Reuven owes Shimon money. And Levi goes ahead and starts seizing Reuven's money on behalf of Shimon. So if he does that, you know, it's great. He's really helping out his friend Shimon, but he could be hurting other people that maybe Reuven owes money to. We don't say that the creditor acquires this. In other words, if Shimon himself personally goes down and starts seizing the property of Reuven, so maybe he's Kona. But if Levi starts doing it on behalf of Shimon, we say, who are you to do such a thing? It can't be Kona. So do we. When you have the lost item, you want to pick it up for yourself and be Kona. Okay, you have the right to do that. But you go ahead and you start picking it up on behalf of other people. Who are you to do that? It's hurting other people's possibility of getting the mitzvah, and therefore you're not able to do that. Now, obviously, if the person picks it up for himself and he now owns it, then he can choose to give it to whoever he'd like. We're talking in the Gemara. When I'm picking it up directly for my friend, we're trying to figure out whether that works or not. Says the Gemara, it's very Rabba the Rav Nachman. Rabba has a kasha against Rav Nachman from the Brice. The mitzvah is Paul La'atzmo. It says that when a worker, he's working for his boss, for the employer, and he finds something, whatever mitzvah he finds belongs to him. In other words, the employer does not have the right to it, but rather the worker. When is that true? With the time when the Baal Bayis, the employer said to him, either take out all my weeds for me today or dig for me today in the field. So he's hired to do a specific task, meaning he's not like whatever he's doing today is automatically always for the employer. He's not generally working for him. No, he's doing specific tasks for the employer. There we say that if you pick something up, then he keeps it. If the terms of the deal were that you just work for me today, we don't specify what type of work. Oh, work, you're working for me today. Whatever you do is for me. There the halacha is, mitzi also shabal abayisu. So then whatever he finds automatically goes to the employer. What's the pshat? The pshat is that since all the work is supposed to go to the Baal HaBayis, included in that is the work of taking the mitzvah. So if he finds the mitzvah, automatically it goes to the Baal HaBayis. Now, here's the one problem, though. That's all true if someone who picks something up for his friend is going to it. Then we could say, you're supposed to do everything for me today, including picking up mitzvahs for me. Therefore, when he picks it up, automatically it's going to Baal HaBayis. But if we say that one cannot pick up a mitzvah for somebody else because it's detrimental to other people, it hurts them, and therefore it's not Kona, so then even if he is hired to do any type of work for the employer, but how's it going to work? How's it going to be effective if you can't pick something up on behalf of someone else? So Amar Leib, I'm not going to answer Chinese poel. No, a worker is different. He's not a random person. It's not a Magbius. It's not just a friend. It's a worker. Diado ken rabbeisu. His hand becomes an extension of the hand of his employer. A new idea. The whole idea that we're saying that one cannot pick up for his friend is only because who are you to do such a thing for your friend? You're a different hand. You're trying to say, since I could do it for myself, oh, I could do it for my friend too. So we say, no, you can't. You're hurting other people. You don't have the capacity. But when it's poel, when it's a worker, his hands, he's hired for the day. Whatever he does automatically is like the extension of the hand of Baal HaBayis. Therefore, he is able to pick it up, pick up the mitzvahs for him. Says the Gemara, you're saying it's so true. When a person is working, he's like, his hand is an extension of Baal HaBayis. It almost sounds like he's like owned. Like in that term, when he's working, it's like his hand is almost like a half of slavery. V'amar Rav, it's not true. Let's say we have a deal. I'm working for the day. The worker can withdraw even the middle of the day, meaning there's no contract that says you must work for the day. If you agree to the deal, if you back out of the middle, it might be a whole question about how you're paid, and that's a little bit complex, but there's no shiba, there's no obligation for you personally to finish the job and go work. As tough as that is when you're in the middle of the house and your contractor quits. But that is the law. You cannot force someone into doing it. So how can you say that his hand is an extension of the hand of his employer when it clearly he has, even when he is a worker himself, he's independent of the Baal HaBayis. He doesn't have to work. So as long as he's not as long as he hasn't retracted, as long as he's still working, kiyar ba'al bayis, he's considered owned in that moment. It's in the moment when he is working, he is completely owned. Al kiyadre, when suddenly in the moment he starts to withdraw, then time achrina hu dechziv. It's a whole different reason which comes from the pasuk ki libnei yisrael avadim. Hashem says that the kal yisrael are my slaves, avadayim, they're only for me slaves, lavadim, not slaves to other slaves. In other words, there's no idea of a Jew being forced to work for someone else against his will. So therefore, that's a new din that you could always pull off and pull out even in the middle of the deal, even if it goes back against your word. But when you are still within the contract and you are working the way you're hired to do, then in that situation you actually really are viewed as being owed by the master, quote unquote, by the employer, and therefore your hand is an extension of his. Now the Gemara just wants to know how do we paskin? Amar Chiv Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan views the Chaver Kana Chaver. Rabbi Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yochanan is the view that if you pick up a fine for somebody else, he is kona. It does work. If you're Tomer Mishnah, you're going to ask about the Mishnah. Well, how do we get into this mess? Because the Mishnah spoke about a case where someone asked someone else to pick up for him, and the guy picked it up, and still we said that it's not kona to the one who sent him. It's kona to the one who picked it up. It must be Mziel Chaver Lo Kana Chaver. The answer is no. The Amar Tanal when the guy was on the horse and he said to the other person, pick it up for me, he didn't say be zochen it for me. He said give it to me, meaning the instructions weren't that the guy should pick it up on his behalf. Rather, the guy should pick it up, stam, in a practical sense, and then give it to him to acquire then. If he would have said go acquire it for me, he would have said zochali, then in a chanami, maybe when the agent then goes and picks it up, then automatically would be acquired to the one who was riding on the horse. But rather, the case in the Mishnah is that he never instructed him to go pick it up on his behalf. Rather, he told him, go pick it up and bring it to me. Meaning, when you give it to me, then I will become the owner. So specifically, in that case, we say that the agent can take it for himself. And in a chanami, if it would be zachali, then the rider would be kona. So we end up, big dispute. Is a dispute here in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah, someone sees a mitzia and he falls on it. So we know that we need a kinyan in order to acquire things, even a mitzia, you need to do an act of kinyan. So here, he didn't do a proper method of kinyan. What did he do? He just falls on the mitzia. Then a second person comes and he does a proper kinyan. The second person who did the kinyan, who takes it, he's the person who has the rights to it, even though the first person was there first. But since he didn't do the kinyan, all he did was fall on it, he's not the owner. Says the Gemara, the Rabbanim were misakin, a new halacha, that if a person wants to be kona with his, just with his proximity of four amos, it makes a kinyan. As soon as within four amos of an item, and you want to be kona the item, automatically it's nicknamed to you. My time of what is the reason? Where is the act of kinyan? Takini Rabbanim, the Rabbanim made such a takana, so that people should not come to fight with one another. You would think about, everyone competing, boxing each other out, throwing elbows. So the Rabbanim made a new takana that don't go to an ownerless item unless no one is within its vicinity. That's the basic concept here. So Rabbanim Misakin, a kinyan from Dalat Amos. Amar Rabbi, Moser Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Peya. Rav Chiya Bar Yosef asked on Rish Lakish from the Mishnah Peya. And Amar Rabbi, Moser Rav Akobar Yidi Nizakin. Rav Akobar Yidi asked on Rish Lakish from the Mishnah Nizakin, which is our Mishnah here. And now the Gemara is going to go through both of these challenges. Amar Rabbi, Moser Rav Chiya Bar Yosef Peya. Rav Chiya Bar Abba asked in the Mishnah Peya. The Mishnah Peya says, Nata makes us Peya Bazar Kalashar. Imagine, remember, the Ani is allowed to come and be Zocha in the Peya in the corner of the field. So someone takes some Peya, but on the rest, instead of taking it, instead of making a proper kinyan, all he does is that he throws it over the rest. So that's obviously not a kinyan. He just takes some of the grain that he did and he throws it on the rest. Like, oh, that's reserved for me. There's no kinyan. So what's the law? In the Wakalam, he doesn't have any rights in it. It doesn't work. What's interesting is that it's not only do we say the stuff that he threw on, he's not going up, but we say that you lose your rights to the payah that you collected legitimately and then threw over. It's like a penalty that we make, that since you tried to do such a thing. So we take it away. Nafalola, if he falls on it, meaning physically, he just falls on it, parasalus below, he spreads his coat over it. They remove him from it, the same thing. We don't honor that. The same applies with regard to a forgotten sheaf of grain. Now, that's all good if you need an act of kinyan. But if there's a new takana to Rabbanon that a person is kona ba'arba amos, so as soon as he's in the vicinity, automatically he wants it, it's his. So why isn't the four amos going to make it acquired to him? Says the Gemara, no, what are we dealing with? He didn't say, I want to acquire it through four amos, meaning the Gemara is suggesting a big chiddush. Even though there is a takana four amos, it's only true if you say specifically, I want to be kona with arba amos. You have to actualize the takana de rabbanon. You have to speak it. If you don't speak it, it doesn't work automatically, even if you want the kinyan. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. If the rabbanon made a takana, that a person could be koneh with the Arba'amos, then it's just like a different method of kinyan. Why do I have to say it? Right? If I pick something up and I want to acquire it, do I have to say I want to acquire it? It works. It works because it works. So if Arba'amos work, Arba'amos should work. So our question comes back. Says the Gemara, no. Given the nafal, since he fell on it, he has shown to us, he has expressed he does not want the kinyan for Amos. Meaning you don't have to say I want the four kinyan Amos. But when you fall on it, you've shown us that I specifically don't want the kinyan for Amos. And since I don't want the kinyan for Amos, so then the Rabbanan are going to say it specifically that it is koneh. When did Rabbanim is talking for Amos in general? Like, let's say you're in a place where no one is. No one's location. So there, if I'm the first one to be before Amos, I'm Kona. But in a private field of someone else, Rabbanim weren't misakin for Amos in such a case because that interferes with the owner's rights. Right. So therefore, there's no din of Darba Amos. Even though I do have rights to go through the field, so maybe really it is the poor person's field as well. No. Hashem gave you limited rights. You can walk through and take your payah. Doesn't give it an extension. Okay, this is objectively your space to do whatever you want with. It's not like that. So from here we see that the idea of Dalai Amos is that it really becomes like the person's personal space. It becomes yours. And that's where the Gemara is limiting it. That could be said in general, but it cannot be said in a private field. The Gemara, you know, it's interesting that we showed him talk about you're not allowed to move something for Amos in the street on Shabbos. It's Halacha Moshe Sinai, but the Baal Amar Mesach HaShabbos likens it to this idea of Arba Amos Konos Lo B'chol Makom. That's like your area. So when you move something from one 4 Amos from another, it's really changing its Rishuyos. Even though here it's only the Rabbanon, it's the Rabbanon that it's a Kenyan. But conceptually, the idea that a 4 Amos are a private area specific seems to be even a concept that exists in the Torah. Says the Gemara, my Rabbi Moshe Yaakov, right? Nizakin. The other challenge from Rishlakish was from our Mishnah, Misachas Nizakin. Our Mishnah said, "Rasa Misiyav Enafal Allah." Someone saw the lost item and he falls in a vachas vachas. Well, then a second person comes and takes it. Zeh shehechzik bazvachav. The second person who takes it has acquired it. If you say that the 4 amos are kone, nitulei Abrahamos diday. So then the first person's 4 amos should acquire it. In other words, even though he didn't to pick it up, he just fell on it, but let the 4 amos be kona. So the Gemara says the same discussion. No, he didn't say that I want the 4 amos to be kona. Without saying it, it can't work. So the Gemara back the same problem. He's talking about Rabbanu Kilomar Mahabed, the Rabbanu Mizakin, that 4 amos works. Then even without saying anything, it should work. Says the Gemara, once you fell in it, you have shown that you're only trying to be koneh through the act of falling. But you don't want to acquire it within the 4 amos. And since you've shown us positively that you don't want it with the 4 amos, so then there's no kenyan. When the Rabbanim is talking 4 amos, only in a simta. Simta is a quiet, like alleyway off the street. So there, people, what they would do is you escape the hustle and bustle of the street, you go off to the private area, you discuss business, whatever it is. So that's a private place that where kinyanim are made. The lo da'achi rabim, where the people don't crowd. Versus ram to da'achi rabim, but in a public street with a public crowd, lo da'achinu rabbanu darbanu, where we're not mizakin such a kinyan in such an area. And the basic Rashi explains that the idea is the Rabbanu are mizakin 4 amos when your 4 amos aren't going to overlap with someone else's 4 amos. But when you're in a public place, right? So everyone's 4 amos are kind of overlapping. So there's no takinu rabbanu. There's no lo da'achinu rabbanu. They weren't mizakin at all. Says the Gemara, v'ha b'chol makom kamar. Rish Lakish said, Abrahamas are kona in any location. Doesn't any location come to include even the street? Says the Gemara, no. Koma kom lasu yitzid v'shus harabim. Koma kom come to include side v'shus harabim, like the shoulders of the street, but not in the street area by itself. All right, so now we move forward to discuss another thing that Rish Lakish said in the name of Ara Kohen Bardala, even though it's not directly related to what the Mishnah was saying. For Amar Rish Lakish Shem Ara Kohen Bardala, Kitana in Lachatzer. If you have a minor girl, so a minor girl, remember, she has limited capacity. She has a yad, right? She has a yad and she could, things that are put in her hand, she could be kona. We know that fundamentally most from get. A get can be put in her hand and that's kona. But she doesn't have a full sense of das. She can't, for example, appoint an agent for someone to do something for her or someone to support. She is very limited in what she could be koneh. So kedana ein la chatzar. She doesn't have the din of a courtyard, meaning to say there's normally a halacha that a person's courtyard could be koneh for them. So if there's something there and they want to be koneh and it's just sitting in the courtyard, even without an active kinyan, chatzar could be koneh. So Rish Lakish is saying a katana does not have that. The ein la abba amos. She also does not have the din of 4 amos. Why is that? So we're basically assuming that that 4 amos is going to work kind of like kinyan chatzar. That's the idea. It's your area. So the same way that a katana doesn't have chatzar, so she won't have the din of 4 amos. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yana, Amar Yesh Lachatzvah, the minor girl could have a din that her courtyard acquires for her. Yesh Lachatzvah, she also has the din, therefore, that the 4 amos could be kona. So fundamentally, they're arguing whether Katana has Kinyan Chatzvah, and then as a derivative, whether she has 4 amos. But says the Gemara, Michael Mifflin, what's the root of the question? Whether a Katana's Chatzvah could be kona for her. Mar Savar, Chatzvah, Mishim Yadis, Rabbi. One opinion is Rabbi Yochanan holds that the way Kinyan Chatzvah works is that it's the Chatzvah, a place that a person owns is like an extension of their hand. And since an extension of their hand, it's like wherever, you know, you're holding something when it's on your land, that's the idea. So therefore, just as the minor girl, we know, has a hand, we know that you can divorce her by placing a get in her hand. So too, Chatzar Nami Isla is considered to be in her hand when I put it in her courtyard. So therefore, the same way that the Torah said she can become divorced, you put something in her hand, she's kona. So when I put something in her courtyard, she could be kona. Just look at chatzar. Chatzar is an extension of her hand. No, the way courtyard works because it's like you're automatic. That automatically they are your agents. Just as you can appoint an agent to be kona something for you, so too you can appoint a self appoint. Right? It's like automatic that your courtyard always acts on your behalf. It's your agent. The same way a minor does not have the din of shlichus because she can't have the das, she's not competent enough to appoint a shliach. Chatzar nami leisla, she also doesn't have the din of a courtyard. And it cannot work. I found this very interesting because what's the reason a katana can't actually make a shliach? It's because she doesn't have the das to appoint it. But by a chatzar, you don't actually have to go tell the chatzar to do it. But the point is that we see it now as a halacha that she doesn't have practically a shliach in the world. She can't make that. So now even these ones that would seem automatic, we say no, she doesn't have a chatzar. She doesn't have a chatzar. So machlokes b'chatzar is really a fundamental question. How does chatzar work? Is it mizik yad? Then she'll have it. Or is it mishum shlichas? And then she will not have it. Says the Gemara, Mikaman Damar Chatzar Mishum Shlichas Rabbi. Is there anyone who says that the way Chatzar works is that it's a Shliach Vatanya, it says, and this is a discussion by a Ganav who steals, we know that he becomes liable. So it says when the stolen thing is found, be yado, in his hand, and he'll be yado. I would say the thief is liable only when he steals using his hands. Gago, Chatzar Kafirman, how do you know you're liable if you steal with your roof, courtyard, or some sort of enclosure? Now, how do you steal with them? How do you steal with them and not your hands? It doesn't mean you're keeping it there. It means you never used your hands to steal. Rashi explains the case is that someone else's animal entered into your property there, and you went ahead and you locked the door with intent to keep it for yourself. So you never did a physical action of taking the animal. All you did was keep it by you in your chatzar. So how do I know you become liable as a ganav in that case? Tamalomer, he matzei. It says the double language, it will be found a double way. B'chol makom, anyway in his possession. So it's a din of chatzar that is included. So now, you see that you can steal through chatzar and be liable. If you think that the way chatzar works for a kinyan is that it's like an agent, then that would mean you're using a shliach l'dvar avera. Stealing is a sin. That would mean here we have a circumstance where stealing can be accomplished through an agent. We know what is the principle we learn in Kedushin so many times. So if there's a rule, and yet the rule is that a ganav is liable. If he steals through his courtyard, what do we see? That a courtyard doesn't function as an agent. It must be that a courtyard functions as one's hand, and it's as if his hand did it. So how could we say that chatzar is mishum shlichus? Clearly, chatzar is rather mishum yad. So the Gemara says a fundamental idea. Amar Avina. And I guess the introduction to this is, why is it true that ain shliach hadvar avera? Where does that rule come from? That rule comes from a svara, that basically we say, the shliach shouldn't be listening to you, the shliach should be listening to Hashem, devir avet, devir tamet, devir mishomet. So the Gemara Vina says, heichad amino ain shliach hadvar avera, where do we say that? Heichad shliach bar chiyuva. That's only true if the agent is someone who is responsible, meaning he has someone who has to listen to what the Torah said, not to sin. Ava b'chatzah de la bar chiyuva. The courtyard is not a person, right? He's not someone that God instructs do this or do that. It's just an inanimate chatzah. So therefore, there's no reason why he cannot be, why the chatzar cannot be a shliach even for sinning, and therefore mechayev shalcho. It is considered as if the ganav did it through his shliach the chatzar. So very interesting rule. The whole din in shliachas bar avera is only where the shliach is a bar chiyuva. He's responsible not to do it. If he's not responsible to do it, then we would say shliach even for sinning. So really, chatzar is mishum shliachas. Says the Gemara, Elam Yatzah, is that true? So what should come out? Omer l'ishav evet sugenu ginvuli. Let's say a person tells a married woman or a slave, go steal from you. They're not responsible. Then you would say shliachas bar avera. The reason the Gemara is saying they're not responsible is because they don't pay. The Mishnah Baba Kama says that a married woman or a slave who does something, they don't have to pay. So therefore, we see that they're not responsible. If they're not responsible, they should be able to say Yishechel to Arver. So the Gemara says, no, that's just a mistake. It's not pshat that it's mutter for them to steal. They are responsible. It's just Hashtimim. They just don't have the means to pay. They don't have money now to pay because all their money is owned by their husband or their master. But it's not. Of course, it says in the Mishnah, once the woman would become divorced and the slave becomes free, they would have to pay for the damages that they did while they were married or while they were enslaved. So of course, they are B'nai Chiyuva. They are responsible. It is forbidden for them to do it. So therefore, the rule of Ein Shlechet V'Avera would in fact apply to them. Says the Gemara now a different reason why the rule of Ein Shlechet V'Avera wouldn't apply to the Chatzar. Again, until now, we're trying to defend really Chatzar's Mishum Shlichos. The first reason why you could steal through your Chatzar of Ein Shlechet V'Avera is because the Shlich is not Bar Chiyuva. Now the Gemara says the second reason. Rav Sama Amar Ha'echamein Ein Shlechet V'Avera Chid Hibay Avid Ve'echel Avid. That's only where the agent has a choice. If you can choose one or the other, so we say you shouldn't choose the Avera, and therefore you're not a Shlich. Aval Chatzar De'Bal Karchei Moseba by the courtyard, where it just automatically works. It's not like the courtyard is thinking and deciding about what to do. It's automatically acting as an agent without a decision. So then the sender could become liable. So basically, it's not about whether he is responsible. It's about whether, right, the whole point is you should or should not have done that, even regardless of your responsibility. But we can only say that if it's a decision that the shliach makes. But when the shliach is a chatzar, that's not deciding anything. It's automatically working. So then we say shliach dvar vera. My bina, what practical difference is there between the two reasons? What's the difference if I say it's about responsibility or it's about choice? So the Gemara says the difference would be, imagine, remember, we know a kohen cannot marry a divorced woman. So what happens if a kohen instructs a regular Jew, go make a kedushin for me to a certain divorced woman that I want to marry? Inami ish amar liisha akli katan, or a man instructs a woman, go cut off the peyos of a minor person. So what's the halacha? So just to clarify, the halacha is you're not allowed to cut off the peyos, whether it's your head or someone else's head, but a woman doesn't have that iser. So the agent, she certainly can choose in these two cases, but she's not included in the iser of cutting off the head. So in both of these cases, the agent is not included in the iser. The Yisrael doesn't have an iser to marry the grusha, and the woman doesn't have the iser of peyos. But in both of the choices, the agent could make a choice. They're people. So if it's about the version that says, it's about if you have a choice. So to hear the shliach has a choice. So therefore, we're going to say ain shliach dvar veir, and the one who sent it will not be liable. But if you say it's not about choice, but rather it's about whether they're responsible, whether Hashem told them not to do it. So hani nami, in these two cases, the ordinary Jew and the woman, the ordinary Jew being mekadesh the grusha, and the woman cutting off the peyos, keeping the labanei chivin, and since they're not responsible, mechayev shochon. So we're not going to say in shliach dvar veir. Rather, we would say yesh shliach, because since the shliach doesn't have the din not to do it, so therefore we're going to say shliach le dvar aver. A very fundamental idea. Just to know, it's a very interesting discussion in Tosos. If you would say that the in shliach dvar aver here, right? So it's not going to be considered like the kohen was mekadesh the grusha, right? What would that mean? Is the kohen married or is he not married? Meaning, what does it mean? Really, listen to this question. It's a fundamental one. In shliach dvar aver. We don't say that it's as if the kohen married the grusha through his agent. No, we don't say that. Ein shliach dvar aver. Are we saying that he didn't do the sin, but he's still married? Or are we saying that this person couldn't represent him? So if he couldn't represent him, and therefore that's not a sin that he did, so then he can't be married either. In other words, after it's said and done, is now the kohen married to the woman or not married? This is a doubt. There are two opinions in Tosos about that question. All right. Now the Gemara moves on to another question. Again, we're trying to figure out, is chatzar mishum shlichus or chatzar mishum yad? The difference is, does a katana have the power of chatzar? So it says, "Amar chatzar la mishum yad." This rabbi, isn't it clear that chatzar is included as an extension of hand? Ratanya says in the brayso, "Yada." It says we're talking about by a get, by divorce. It says he puts the nasan biyad. He puts the get in her hand. In the yada, we don't know if he puts it in her hand. How do we know if he puts it even on a roof or courtyard or enclosure? Tam lomar for nasan, he should put mikomakom wherever he puts in her possession. So clearly, the Torah is saying an extension of yad. It says yada, and then we're including chatzar. So clearly, chatzar, we understand, is an extension of the yad. So if it's an extension of the yad, then how can anyone say it's something else? So the Gemara explains, by the get, everybody agrees, chatzar mishum yad is rabbi. The only way it's going to work is through being her hand. We understand that. And the reason it's like that is because chatzar, the chatzar there is hurting her, right? She's getting divorced. That's not a good thing for the woman. Or at least it's not necessarily a good thing for the woman. So the only way it can work is since it could kind of work when I put it directly. The Torah is including, and even if I put it in any place of her possession. That's all Mishum Yad. Kipliyim Mitzia. We're arguing about something like a found item. Mar Savar Rabbi Yochanan Hol Dafinim Mitzia Miget. Top of the Amid Aleph. I have the right to learn that the Chatzar could be Kone Mitzia the same way it could be Kone again. In other words, the same way I see that the Baiget, that a Katana has a Chatzar, it's an extension of her hand. So too, it's an extension of her hand here in the realm of Mechitza, and she could be Kona. You're not able to learn one from the other. Why not? If you take a look at Rashi, because one is Mamun and one is Isser. So maybe we could say like this. Only by Isser, by the laws of Gittin, there the Torah says that there's a din of Chatzer, which acts as a yad. That's all by Isurim. But in regard to Mammon, there's no such halacha. By Mammon, there's no such halacha that a Chatzer works as yad. It's a new thing that a Chatzer could work in general, and that only that Chatzer that works by Mammon is only learned from Geneva, and perhaps by Geneva it only works as an agent. So we're basically conceding, of course, by get, the way that the Chatzer works is Mishum Yad. And of course, that's the reason a minor could be divorced, even if it would be put, let's say, in her Chatzer. The question is, do I have the right to learn from there in general, the way Kenyan Chatzar can work, even by Mammon? Or I say, no, Isra and Mammon are two separate categories. Mammon may only work different. Mammon may only work through the power of Shlichas, and that cannot work for the minor girl. If it's about a minor girl, everyone agrees. I see the Torah gave her a chatzar to get divorced, and everyone agrees you can learn mitzvah from get, and therefore she herself could be kona in her chatzar, the lost item. They're arguing about what about a minor boy. One of my opinions says, hey, once I know by a minor girl, because I know she could be divorced, so therefore I know she has a chatzar, therefore I know she could acquire, so I apply that to a minor boy as well, that his courtyard could acquire an ownerless item. Another opinion says, no, we cannot learn one from the other. In other words, the Torah only said the Xeris HaKasif by get. And since the laws of divorce applied to the minor girl, clearly it's there. But we don't find anywhere in the Torah that a minor boy has chatzar. And if I don't have a source, so we assume logically they do not. It could be one was talking about one case, one was talking about another case, and they are not arguing at all. Meaning, what are we saying? Everyone agrees that a minor's chatzar could acquire a get, but not a mitzia. So Reish Lakish, who said that the minor girl has no chatzar, was talking about mitzia. Rabbi Yochanan who said a minor girl has a chatzar, was talking about divorce. So they're not arguing. Everyone agrees by mitzia, you don't have chatzar for the katana. Everyone agrees by get, you do.